from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
here is the news. First, the headlines. Prabowo reviews education defense policies on a meeting last night, and Indonesia to launch 2026 tourism safety program to bolster standards. Here is the complete details. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto on Saturday evening, May 2nd, convened a closed-door meeting with cabinet and related state officials to discuss strategic issues, particularly on education and security. According to the information published by the presidential Instagram account at Presiden Republik Indonesia on Sunday, May 3rd, the president discussed several strategic issues, including education policies, coincided with the National Education Day, and the development of downstreaming policies for public interest. The meeting also discussed on defense and security policies to maintain national stability amidst global tensions. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism is set to launch the 2026 Tourism Safety Program across the country to strengthen the safety standards of tourist destinations. Ministry's Deputy for Resources and Institutional Affairs, Martini Muhammad Paham, said in a statement confirmed on Saturday that the tourism sector is undergoing a paradigm shift as travelers now seek more than just the beauty of destinations, but also authentic, safe, and memorable experiences. In this regard, the Ministry of Tourism prepared the Tourism Safety Program as an initiative to enhance the knowledge and skills of tourism human resources, particularly in risk mitigation and emergency response. The strategic move is also intended to ensure standardized safety procedures for tourists while boosting Indonesia's tourism competitiveness on the global stage. Next news is coming from the state-run fertilizer producer PT Pupuk Indonesia that has been able to maintain supply stability amid global turmoil. This was stated by the Presidential Special Envoy for Energy and Environment Hashim Jojo Hadikusumo said on Saturday, May 2nd. President Director of PT Pupuk Indonesia, Rahmat Pribadi, said that amid global disruptions to energy and fertilizer flows due to conflicts in the Middle East, Indonesia has taken on a strategic role as a stabilizer of regional fertilizer supplies. He said this is closely linked to the government's role in implementing appropriate strategies to support the fertilizer industry. Rahmat emphasized that the government has adopted the right approach as fertilizer is a critical agricultural input. Let's moving on to our next news. Indonesia will soon receive crude oil from Russia as part of efforts to maintain national energy supply security amid global geopolitical dynamics. This was stated by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, Bahlil Lahadalia, on Saturday, May 2nd. The move is also part of the realization of a commitment to import 150 million barrels of oil from Russia, which will be carried out gradually until the end of 2026. Speaking in Jakarta, Lahadalia emphasized that the government is currently prioritizing the availability of all types of fuel to meet the needs of public and industry. However, Lahadalia did not specify the volume of the initial shipment or which domestic refineries will process the crude. He said the government is focused on ensuring the availability of various types of fuel, ranging from diesel to gasoline, with different octane levels amid ongoing global uncertainty. The Papua Highlands provincial government planted 3,000 trees to commemorate Indonesia's 2026 National Education Day, aiming to instill environmental awareness among students. The tree planting took place in the Napua Hills area of Jayawijaya District and at Wamena Christian High School, involving 300 students and teachers from across the region. Acting head of the Papua Highlands Education and Culture Office, Simon Sambor, said on Saturday that the initiative was part of efforts to preserve nature and ecosystems while preventing disasters such as landslides and floods. The 3,000 trees planted included native species such as willow, sin, and Syzygium myrtifolium or red lip, chosen both to beautify the area and improve soil fertility. Next news is on the West Nusa Tenggara State Museum is strengthening education for rural communities on preserving historical and cultural artifacts to prevent damage and ensure the sustainability of ancestral heritage. Head of the West Nusa Tenggara Museum, Ahmad Nuralam, said on Saturday that many historical objects remain poorly maintained, putting them at risk of damage or loss. Through its program, the West Nusa Tenggara Museum encourages communities to collectively inventory and preserve heirlooms as part of strengthening village cultural identity. Nuralam encouraged Barabali to establish a village museum that would serve not only as a repository for artifacts, but also as a cultural destination fostering identity, education, and economic activity. Let's moving on to Indonesia will continue to rely on coal-fired power plants PLTU to ensure energy efficiency and keep electricity prices affordable. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Bahlil Lahadalia said on Saturday that Indonesia's large coal reserves make the resource essential, particularly amid global energy disruptions linked to rising tensions in the Middle East. He argued that Indonesia cannot abruptly abandon coal, pointing out that several developed countries, including the United States and parts of Europe, are returning to coal to safeguard domestic energy security. He also emphasized that efficiency and national interests must guide Indonesia's energy transition. Last but not least, we have news from Indonesia's state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura is adding 53 flight routes to strengthen national air connectivity and support growth in the transportation and tourism sectors. President Director of PT Angkasa Pura or Injourney Airports, Muhammad R. Pahlevi, said in his statement on Saturday, May 2nd, during that period, the number of flight routes rose 15% compared to the same period the previous year when 46 routes were added. Pahlevi said the expansion of the flight network is a concrete step to position airports as agents of development, supporting economic growth, equity, and tourism. He emphasized that connectivity is key to public mobility and the smooth flow of goods and logistics. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is The Woman of Indonesia, a special series to celebrate and commemorate the Kartini Day and the amazing role of women in Indonesia. And today, we will talk about Hetty Kusendang. Hetty Kusendang was often named as legendary keroncong singer. But she is way more than that. When most singers usually stick to one music style, Hetty Kusendang has a greater range. Let's start with her early life. Hetty Kusendang was born into a Sunda Minang couple on August 6, 1957. She debuted at the age of 17 years old. It did not take her long to go national. Two years after her debut, Hetty Kusendang, along with Aji Bandi, performed at the 7th Indonesian Popular Song Festival. Their performance became the second best at the event. From here, Hetty and Aji Bandi joined the World Popular Song Festival in Tokyo, Japan. They performed Damai Tapi Gersang, or Peaceful But Barren. This was deemed one of the best performances of Hetty Kusendang.
Título de la canción, Amado Mío, letra Titik Hamza, música Adisuma Atmaya. Canta Hetty Kusendang.
Another most remarkable performance of Hetty Kusendang was in 1983 edition of Viña del Mar International Song Festival in Chile. With orchestra led by ADMS, Hetty Kusendang performed Sayang or Dear. Her amazing performance made her chosen as the best singer in the festival. That performance alone, ladies and gentlemen, was a proof that Indonesian female singer deserved an international stage. That performance alone, ladies and gentlemen, was a proof that Indonesian female singer deserved an international stage. As the years went on, Hetty continued to perform internationally, especially in countries like Japan and the Netherlands, where her music found a strong audience. Later in her career, she also became a judge in singing competitions, mentoring young talents and sharing her experience with the next generation. Until today, Hati Kusendang is known for her versatility in styles, from Sundanese, Minang, Keroncong, into pop songs. She is a living proof that even from such a young age, when you set your mind on a goal, any woman can reach the highest level they want. Listener, that is today's episode of Women of Indonesia about Hati Kusendang. Stay tuned to the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia.
Beach usually has a black or white sand.
but in Indonesia, we have a pink one. You can find it at the pink beach located in Komodo Island, West Nusa Tenggara. This beach is hidden behind a hill, so it is so serene. Its waters is so clear that anyone wants to dive in it. How can the sand be pink? The pink comes from corals, shells of shells, and calcium carbonate from marine biota in there.
New Year's Eve, 2019, New South Wales, Australia.
If you're in Mogo or surrounding coastal areas, you're at risk. Leaving now is the safest option, so leave now towards the beach and shelter in place.
Oh my god, my neighbor's house. Okay. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Last December, Australia recorded temperatures above 47 degrees, and in January, bushfires caused tens of thousands to flee from their homes.
This is a real nightmare. I can't believe this is real. I can't see anything. This is literally not real. This is not real. Oh my freaking god. We just have to get down this road to the beach.
Nearly 3 billion animals were killed or displaced in these fires.
All I want is my family. All I want is to be safe.
Pictures and stories continue to file out from Australia.
The last decade was the hottest decade on record.
Overnight, another onslaught from an ever-expanding inferno.
Extreme weather displaces over 20 million people a year. And just this year, we've seen Siberian fires and catastrophic flooding in Jakarta in February.
Rising death toll and massive evacuation in Indonesia.
Devastating swarms of locusts in East Africa in April. Cyclone Amphan in eastern India and Bangladesh in May.
It could be the worst the area has seen in 20 years.
Over 400 wildfires in Alaska. And in August, more wildfires on America's Pacific coast.
Well, the fires raging in Northern California have now become some of the largest in state history.
Climate change is man-made, and the main driver is CO2 pollution from burning fossil fuels. Global temperatures continue to rise. But something else is on the rise. Climate protests all around the world. From London, to Australia.
We are not drowning!
To New Zealand. Uganda.
Climate change is here now, and it is killing people right now. The people who are looking at it right in the face.
Tokyo. India. Cristiana Figueres was the lead negotiator for the Paris Climate Agreement in 2015.
The next 8 to 10 years is going to determine the quality of life for the next 100 to 200 years, if not longer. That's the race that we're in.
We all watched with amazement when exactly 1 year ago, young people from all over the world took to the streets to express their feeling that we're not doing enough about climate change,
that we're not treating it like the emergency it is.
Actor Don Cheadle is a goodwill ambassador for the UN Environment Program.
It's a year later now. Have we done enough? No, we have not. And climate change is only part of this story. Our rainforests are disappearing at an extraordinary rate. One football field of rainforest is destroyed every 6 seconds. 1 million plant and animal species are on the brink of extinction. By 2050, there will be more plastic in the oceans than fish. And so climate change and our treatment of the natural world are colliding and exacerbating each other to create a perfect storm. This cannot go on. You know it, I know it, and we know what we need to do.
In 2015, the UN announced 17 Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, a blueprint to achieve a better and more sustainable future for all. We need to follow these goals to ensure that we are the last generation to be threatened by climate change. These are the solutions.
We need to reduce global emissions by 50% by 2030. to do this, we need a rapid but just transition to renewable energy. That means an end to the building of new coal power stations and an end to subsidizing of fossil fuels. Government should also shift the tax burden from payrolls to carbon. Taxing carbon rather than people will increase output and employment while reducing emissions. And we need to stop deforestation in its tracks, planting trees instead of chopping them down. We need to think about what we eat and how we produce food, embracing healthy, nutritious diets, sustainable farming methods, and reducing food waste. The climate crisis is an opportunity. Renewable energy is cheaper than fossil fuels. Thousands of businesses are working to go carbon neutral, and the opportunity to generate clean, safe, and decent jobs is enormous. The passion for protest can turn into a passion for changing all of our behavior to create a better, safer, just, sustainable world.
All day, all night. Ooh, baby, let me get down.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from Baila. Baila is an Indonesian new band which has made a new achievement through its song Asa Asmara, or Hope of Love. This song was released on October 2, 2024, and as of November 20, it reaches more than 1 million times playing on the Spotify streaming platform. The song Asa Asmara has become known for its meaningful lyrics and heart-touching melody. This success is widely promoted through Baila social media, which shows the journey of this song from its launch to its phenomenal achievement. The song carries the main theme of courage to express feelings. Through the lyrics, it calls on the listeners not to be afraid to express love, even though there is a possibility of rejection. This message is relevant for those who often feel hesitant or anxious when they want to show their feelings to someone they love. Well, listener, this is Baila with the song Asa Asmara. Let's check this one out.
Thank you.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Tolerance is an important part which is inseparable from life philosophy of Indonesians. Religious people live side by side peacefully, respecting each other in doing religious activities according to their faith. Now we take you to Kudus, a city situated in Central Java Province, which is not only popularly called a cigarette city, but also popular with its people who still highly uphold tolerance values between religious people, and it is teaching passed on by Sunan Kudus.
Ajaran-ajaran beliau.
Kudus people still uphold his teaching, especially those living around tower. His teaching includes tolerance.
According to Denny Nur Hakim, staff of Menara Mosque Foundation and Sunan Kudus Tomb, who is also maintenance keeper of Central Java Cultural Reserve, tolerance between religious people that Sunan Kudus taught is not becoming fanatic people.
Kalau kita lihat di sebelah timur dari komplek masjid Menara.
If we see in the east of Menara Mosque complex, there is a temple. In the south of the temple, it was a settlement of Chinese people where they may still live there until now.
According to Denny, tolerance between religious people that Sunan Kudus taught keeps local people away from disputes amid diversity. Another form of tolerance between religious people in Kudus is prohibition to slaughter cow, which is a holy animal for Hindu people.
Sebelum Sunan Kudus tiba di Kudus,
before Sunan Kudus arrived in Kudus, Hindus have lived here, so Sunan Kudus came later. So, Sunan Kudus prohibited his followers to slaughter cow because it is an animal that Hindu people adore.
Until at present, prohibition to slaughter cow in Kudus still prevails. They replace the needs of meat by slaughtering buffalo.
This is why there is no cow in slaughterhouse in Kudus. There is no beef satay in Kudus, but buffalo satay.
Although in Kudus there is prohibition to slaughter cow, consuming cow remains allowed as revealed by Denny Nur Hakim.
Sunan Kudus itu tidak melarang pengikutnya untuk memakan daging sapi.
Sunan Kudus did not prohibit his followers to eat beef. Until now, we can see that Kudus people love beef, but they do not slaughter cow. The beef mostly comes from out of the city, though.
This tradition is still maintained from generation to generation through various examples that people can see and follow.
Yang jelas kita tidak hanya menyampaikan itu.
One thing for sure is that we not only prohibit, but we also give examples. So on Idul Adha, Islamic Sacrifice Day, and Penggantian Luwur or Buka Luwur tradition, we always slaughter buffalo, not cow. We do not call for it, but we give examples.
Kudus people do not need call and reminder to slaughter cow, which is tolerance teaching between religious people from Sunan Kudus.
Kita hanya memberikan contoh aja gitu. Jadi
we just give examples without calling for it because they already know it. It is better to give concrete examples to the people.
tolerance taught by Sunan Kudus to his followers in Kudus gives a good character heritage in this place, so that they are popular as people who live peacefully and uphold mutual respect. That was our expedition of Voice of Indonesia on Kudus people tolerance culture through tradition to prohibit cow slaughtering, which is teaching heritage of Sunan Kudus.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Yang penuh dengan
jiwa-jiwa yang tenang, jangan sekali-kali kamu mencoba jadi Tuhan dengan mengadili dan menghakimi. Bahwasanya kamu memang tak punya daya dan upaya serta kekuatan untuk menentukan kebenaran yang sejati. Bukankah kita memang tercipta laki-laki dan wanita dan menjadi suku-suku dan bangsa-bangsa yang pasti berbeda? Bukankah kita memang harus saling mengenal dan menghormati, bukan untuk saling bercerai-berai dan berperang angkat senjata?
Indonesian Wonder today is on Haji Mangku Cave in East Kalimantan. The various attractions offered by the Derawan Islands in East Kalimantan province are indeed tempting for visitors. Not only doing water activities such as diving and snorkeling, tourists who visit the Derawan Islands can also test their adrenaline and courage by visiting one of the caves located not far from Maratua Island, namely the Haji Mangku Cave located in the Payung-Payung village. The name of the Haji Mangku Cave, located only a few dozen meters from the northern coast of Maratua Island, was first discovered by Haji Mangku. The location of this cave is in the middle of a forest surrounded by lush trees. Starting with light trekking through a small forest, visitors must then be extra careful in choosing their footing because some locations have sharp coral footing. Arriving at the location after about 10 minutes walking through shady trees, visitors will be greeted by the edge of the cave, which forms a natural pool. To enter this brackish water cave, there are two ways, namely jumping directly from the top of the cave or entering from the mouth of the cave, which is half covered in water. The best time to visit the Haji Mangku Cave is during the day because at the time the sunlight will enter the cave and even penetrate to the inside of the cave. The appearance of the water will also look bluer when compared to coming in late afternoon when the sun is almost setting. This Haji Mangku Cave tourist spot is perfect for those who enjoy nature tourism that challenges their adrenaline. If you like snorkeling, you can explore the depths of this natural pool with the equipment that has been prepared. If you want to jump from the cliffs around the pool, you can also do it from a height of 4 meters. To maximize your trip, you should wear non-slip and comfortable footwear. Leave in the morning so that you don't arrive at the location too late. Bring enough food and drinks for supplies, and most importantly, ask a local guide who can guide you during the trip. That was today's Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow.
Voice of Indonesia.
Selalu ingin bersama
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song called Gado Gado Semarang, composed by Kelly Puspita. The song lyrics mention that the name Semarang in the province of Central Java, Indonesia, comes from the word Asam Arang, which means rare acid. Semarang is a coastal city, so many foreigners drop by the city. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Gado Gado Semarang by Retno Indah. Happy listening!
Just so much.